Radio.
You're listening to Bruce Downs, The Catholic Guy on cradio.org.au.
Wherever you are around the world today, it's great you can be here with us. You ever been part of a Christian group or you ever been enthusiastic even in your own walk with God, and then for some reason you've lost it or the group's lost it? The truth is that sometimes happens, but there are things we can do to sustain ourselves, to keep ourselves strong over the long haul. Let's talk today about how we keep ourselves enthused for God throughout our life. That's what we're going to talk about today. I pray this blesses you. Have you ever been part of a group that was very enthusiastic faith-wise, church-wise, and then lost it? Have you ever in your own life felt those periods of time when you have been enthusiastic full-on and then you've lost it? The truth is these things happen. I've been part of numerous groups that were very focused for periods of time and then lost it. We see it in the lives of religious orders. We see it in the lives of people that serve God well. Well, I want to talk today about how do we sustain ourselves over the long haul and what are some of the traps we can fall into that deplete us. I remember many years ago talking to a Christian leader, and he gave this talk, and I went and spoke to him afterwards, and he talked about people who say, "I'm with you, I'm with you, I'm with you." And then he said, "But I know that some of you are only with me now, even though you call me friend, but in time, when tough times come, or when you experience some adversity, you'll fall away." Well, Jesus is, in the scripture we're going to read from John 4, Jesus talks to the woman at the well. And when his disciples come back, they talk to him and they want to find out how come he's not hungry, because he says to them, "My food is to do the will of the Father," because they think to themselves, maybe Jesus has been fed by somewhere else. But Jesus talks to this woman and he talks about their role and he talks about his life. We're only going to read a little bit of the scripture. You can read it all from John chapter 4, but we're going to pick up the story in verse 34. And here he says, Jesus said to them, talking to the disciples, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to complete his work. Do not say 4 months more, then comes the harvest. But I tell you, look around you and see how the fields are ripe for harvesting. The reaper is already receiving wages and is gathering fruit for eternal life, so that sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, one sows, another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor." Jesus comes along and he says to them, when they ask him for food, Jesus says to them, "My food is to do the will of my Father." It doesn't take much to lose it. Jesus says his nourishment comes from doing the will of the Father. And can I ask you today, as we begin, are you right now, could you say, "I think I'm doing what God is asking me to do. My nourishment comes from doing the will of God." Could you say within your life that you're doing what God is asking you to do? See, the fruit of the harvesters harvest is people being brought to eternal life. It says in verse 36 we just read, the fruit of the harvesters harvest is people being brought to eternal life. The disciples become familiar with being with Jesus. And here they were awed by him when they first met him. They said, "We found the Messiah, come and see." They went and called each other. They went and called others and say, "We found him, come and see." And he would just have to say, "Come and follow me." And off they would go, leaving family, they left friends, they left career, occupations, they left. Jesus, it appears, was magnetic. Jesus, it appears, was soul-stirring. Jesus, it appears, he was mesmerizing. And yet it only took a short time and they became familiar with the extraordinary, even though they witnessed miracles. Isn't it interesting in life? Isn't it interesting that things that are very familiar to us can become mundane, but when we only do them rarely, they become fantastic. I was only talking to someone a little while ago, many years ago, when Rosemary and I, my wife and I, we would go on holidays once a year. We went on holidays when we were in our 30s for about 4 or 5 days, and we just went once a year and we caught a plane once. And I remember when we caught the plane, it was always exciting. We were going away for 4 or 5 days, we caught a plane, and it was always new. Well, want to know something? And catching a plane, you'd sit there and you'd eat the food And it was just fantastic and exciting. Well, in the last 12 months, I've caught well over 100 planes. Someone worked it out the other day. I have flown on a plane approximately every 2.8 days, not even every 3 days. I've caught a plane if they were to be averaged out. I want to know something. There's nothing exciting about it anymore. There's nothing that's good about it, from the food to the lines to the queues to the packing to the waiting at carousels for your bags to come out. I fly to other airports, some of the big airports of the world, and I know exactly where to go now. There's no looking around, looking at the signs, wondering where should I go right now. I know exactly where to go. And want to know something? One of the downsides of that is it's just not exciting anymore. It's like I'm just driving the car, catching the bus, catching the train to work. Well, here are the disciples, and the disciples become, in a sense, familiar with Jesus. Because when you see the extraordinary all the time and you do extraordinary things can become very, very familiar. And it doesn't take much, even with our relationship with Jesus, to become familiar. It doesn't take much for our heart to no longer beat or pound with the excitement it did in the early days. I remember in one particular Christian group I belonged to that it was just everything was exciting. We would get together and we would dream about the future, what it would be. We would dream about the crowds and we would dream about buildings and we would dream about the Christian community being vibrant and caring and loving. And all of this was going to happen in the future. And I remember we would talk about the vision of what we felt God was calling us to. And we were gripped deeply by this vision. And people were prepared to change occupations, jobs. Some did. If that's what it was going to take to bring the vision into being. And then over time, things happen where that enthusiasm gets lost. But yet, in my life, I've met women and men who've been able to maintain that enthusiasm for God all of the time. All of the time. See, what's the environment like for a group of people who are gripped by a call that they can stop and say, I think this is what God is asking me to do. I think this is what God is asking me to do. The first thing I've noticed about the atmosphere, the environment, is that there is an atmosphere of excitement. What if? What would happen if this happened? What happens if that would happen? We could. This might happen. These people's lives might get changed. This could change. How many of us, when we go to church on Sunday, to the most powerful thing in our week, are walking in there going, this is going to be powerful? For many of us who are walking in, and if we're truthful, we're stopping going, I need to do this because I've got to fulfill this obligation. See, a group of people who are gripped by a call, there's something about the atmosphere. And you almost can discern that God is going to be doing something fantastic, in some sense, even by the level of atmosphere and of the talk. Because how do you measure atmosphere? You measure it by the talk. You measure it by attendance. You measure it by the enthusiasm and the positivity of people. Because the second thing that I've learned about the atmosphere or the environment of a group of people that are called is that people are joy-filled. And what do I mean by joy? I'm not talking about laughter, happiness, even though that's part of it. But joy is this, the best way I can describe joy is this deep knowing. Joy is this deep sense of this is what God has called me to. This is my direction. This is where I'm meant to be. And there's that contentment that's within you. And funnily enough, you meet people of deep joy, the circumstances around their life and their family and the environments where they are can be absolutely turbulent, but there's a deep joy within them. It's the mark of a mature Christian person. The other thing that we learn about a group of people who've been called, a group of people that know where they're going, is that the core team, the group in the inner group, is that they're strategic. They're strategic. They do what has to be done in order to make it work. They don't stop and they don't count the time necessarily. They don't count the sacrifice necessarily. They don't stop and look to the left and the right and compare with other people and say, well, you're only working that much or you're only doing that much. If you read the lives of the saints, you read the lives of groups that have just boomed and done so well, it's a question of this is what I'm meant to do. Which leads me to the fourth point, is that there's a determination in the environment. There's a determination. And as I said, people sacrifice for this calling. I don't know of anything I've ever read in a religious community or a group of people where there hasn't been sacrifice. And people have sacrificed financially, as in either gone without in order to fulfill the calling, or given unreasonably compared to others. They've either gone without or given unreasonably compared to others because the calling has gripped them. Because they are able to say, I think this is what God has asked me to do. I think this is what God has asked me to do. And a sign of a group that begins where the wheels begin to fall off is where people began to say, but people began to either not sacrifice, either in terms of what they give up, or sacrifice in terms of what they give. If your group is a group where there aren't people saying, I'm going to sacrifice financially, or sacrifice by what I give up, or sacrifice by what I give, you can already tell that your group is going to struggle with where it is. There's also that material, that materially, that in terms of the physical of what people have. I've been in groups of people that have worked in sheds because they believe this is what God has called them to do. I've worked with people who sat at plastic tables because they believe that's what God's called them to do. I've worked with people who virtually had very little materially, but they've been able to touch the lives of many people because of a calling. And they don't look at their environment. What they do is they look at the calling because the calling keeps them strong. There are those people who therefore sacrifice in the areas of time. And as I say, they don't look to the left or the right. What they do is they look towards what God has called them. Now, what are some of the traps that you can fall into if you're in an environment where there's that sense of calling? Because there are some traps for them as well. See, what can happen is people who are in a group that's going somewhere, people cannot establish within themselves the basic disciplines of their own personal relationship with God. Because what they do is they allow the feeling and the enthusiasm based around the group and the calling of the group to be the bit that sustains them. And therefore what happens is that they don't put within themselves the personal work, the personal discipline of being able to stand up as a Christian person. And what you inevitably see is many people who are in wonderful Christian groups drop away because they don't do the personal within their life. They don't look after themselves personally. The second thing, the second trap that I've found is that the personal and spiritual disciplines and development are secondary to the feeling of excitement. It's kind of what I said before, is that the personal disciplines, spiritually and practically, personally, becomes secondary to the feeling of excitement. The third thing I've learned is people are more caught with the idealized vision than with the practical details and the logistics to achieve the vision. See, no amount of enthusiasm that Rosemary and I are going to have children and we love our children, none of that is we think you're wonderful, et cetera, et cetera. None of that is going to grow them. What we have to do is supply food for them. And what we have to do is to make sure they're fed. So we can have a wonderful vision for our family, but if we don't do the practicals of providing home and security and food, they don't grow. And yet there are many of us in Christian communities and Christian groups that what we do is we focus so much upon the spiritual, the feeling, that we forget about focusing on the practicals that we need to have within our life. See, why do people become familiar, right? Why do people become familiar? Why do people become familiar with God? Why do people become familiar with a group of people? Why do people become familiar even with a calling? And there's a few reasons. One is that the new becomes ordinary. And here's the thing that I've learned is the new will always become ordinary. The new will always become ordinary. When I remember being 19 years old and catching my first plane, I still vividly remember where I sat. I still vividly remember looking out the window. I still remember that from the very first plane I caught. I couldn't even tell you what I looked at in recent plane flights or where I was. Matter of fact, I don't even sit next to the window. I sit somewhere else. I sit on the aisle so I can move around, get up, go for a walk, figure out how to pass the time. There's, you know, I'm neither frightened nor am I particularly peaceful flying because the bumps don't upset me, because I just know, having ridden in so many, everything that was new becomes, it's the same with our walk with God. If we don't do things occasionally to spruce up our spiritual life, like go to a conference, read a spiritual book, spend regular time talking to God, talk to someone who's a little wiser than ourselves in the Christian life and the people who are ahead of us, it doesn't take much to become ordinary. I found it doesn't take much for me just to allow wrongdoing or compromise to slip into my life. And so what I have to do is to make sure that doesn't happen is give permission to some people, not everybody, but to some people to come and speak to me and encourage me and speak truth to me. Why do things become familiar? Well, sometimes because of, and they lose their enthusiasm, is sometimes because of failure and disappointments. Truth is, in my own life, if we had time now, I could talk to you, I could write a book on my failures, and I could write certainly a couple of books on my disappointments. Things that I wanted to work that haven't worked. Things that I thought should be successful and weren't successful. And the reality is, if you're not careful, failure and disappointment, which is part of everybody's journey, is part of anybody's journey, can rob our enthusiasm to be committed to the things that God has called us to do. And yet, our failures and our disappointments, if we are open to God, can be the very vehicles through which God can purify us, that God can work in our lives to help us become the men and the women that we are. When I look back through my life and I look through the things that God has done in my life and I look back in the rearview vision of my life, the truth is I have no idea how I would be the man that I am today in my relationship with God if it was not for failure and it was not for disappointment. Because in those failures and disappointments, I come face to face with my consistent need for God. If everything was successful and everything was good, then I would just be able to stand up and go, look at me, look, I can do it. And I wouldn't need to be dependent upon God. I wouldn't come face to face with the frailty in my life that's a constant reminder to me of the need for the Lord in my life. Another reason people become bored or they lose their enthusiasm is because of the busyness of life. And what I mean by the busyness of life is most of the successful people I know are very busy. I'm not talking about that kind of busy. I'm talking about so busy that the basic things of reflection, the basic things of refreshment, the basic things of allowing people to speak into your life and reading things that bring information into your life that keeps your perspective true, or being able to go back and look again at the things that you believe God has called you, that people are too busy for the basics. It's not that they're too busy in life. We're living in a world today where people are busier than ever. And so we're going to be busy. But we can be so busy with doing stuff that we never become busy with the right stuff. Have you ever turned on your computer and just ended up surfing around, looking at different things, and you're busy, but you spend 2 hours and before you know it, you haven't done some of the things you're meant to do, right? You can be busy, but it is to be busy about the right things. Another thing that causes us to lose enthusiasm is this whole idea of distractions, that we can become distracted from the very thing that we're meant to do. God says to us, I want you to do this, and along the way we find other good things and we find ourselves distracted. Distractions can take us away from being the men and women that God calls us to be, and distractions can take a group and cause a group not to be achieve what it's meant to achieve. And then something else that can rob us of that sense of calling and the sense of enthusiasm is failing to live in the presence of God. Failing to live in the presence of God. And what do I mean by that? Failing to live in the presence of God is failing to live in that place of talking to God in such a way and living with the acknowledgement of God around us that, God, you're with me. God, you're guiding me. And God, you are there. And the constant conversation that every one of us who are Christians need to have within our lives. And another reason why people fall down is because they fail to be transparent with others. They begin to live in secret. See, if you don't address keeping yourself fresh with God, it doesn't take much to become stale, to diminish and fall away. And what did Jesus say? Jesus said, my will, my food is to do the will of my Father. And when you're doing what God is asking you to do, it's amazing how Jesus said, my food is to do the will of the Father. It's amazing how when we cease to do what God is asking us to do, that we somehow become undernourished. Well, why don't you go and practice some of those things? I believe that they'll bless you tremendously.
Want to watch this message again? You can do so at brucedownsthecatholicguide.com.
Many years ago, a Catholic priest used to ask me all the time how my personal prayer was going, and I didn't know how to answer. Well, he taught me how to pray, and my life has never been the same. It's the most important thing I do in my life. So I wrote a book called Personal Prayer for the Everyday Person that step by step helps us to pray. Have you ever noticed that so often our prayers can be just asking for things from God? And any relationship that's all about just asking for stuff is not really a very fulfilling and meaningful relationship, is it? Or have you ever noticed that so often when it comes to prayer, we just don't know what to say? Well, I'm a husband and a father of five children, and I wrote this book, Personal Prayer for the Everyday Person, for women and men like me who are busy and yet want to connect with God in some way. I would love to bless you and give you this book for no charge, for no cost. Prayer changed my life. I would not be here today if it was not for personal prayer. Write to me on this address or call me on this number and I'll send you Personal Prayer for the Everyday Person for no charge at all. And I pray it blesses you.
Change your life through personal prayer. Bruce's book, Personal Prayer, will provide you with practical steps to help you develop a relationship with God that will change your entire life. We will send you a copy of Personal Prayer by Bruce Downs, the Catholic Guy. Call us or visit us at brucedownsthecatholicguy.com.
Being holy is what we as Christians are all called to be. What's holy? Holy is being set apart, devoted to God. And in our lives, we're called to be set apart, devoted to God. But it is so easy in our lives to lose that sense of devotion. It's so easy to lose that sense of being focused on the things that are truly important. And sometimes we've got to come to God and we've got to ask God for God's help to help us to be the people that He wants us to be, but also with our needs. Why don't you let me pray with you and my team pray with you that God would be fantastic in your situation, that God would truly bless you in the very areas of your life where you need to be blessed. Now, if you didn't go to church this week or for some reason you just don't think you can go to church at the moment, and you'd really know the reason for that, I want you to know God is calling us. God is calling us into an intimate relationship, an intimate relationship of power and of love, and wants us to retain our enthusiasm and our motivation, even though we go through ups and downs through life. That it's in the ups and downs that we can experience God, and that God can use those things powerfully to touch us, to move us, and to draw us closer to Him. Imagine if you lived like that. Well, that's it. We'll see you next time. And remember, wherever you are around the world today, God is never far from you.
You've been listening to Bruce Downs, the Catholic Guy, on cradio.org.au.